serves me today.
He is able.
To handle anything that comes my way.
He is able, more than able,
to do much more than I could ever dream.
He is able,
more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Trust you're all well this evening. Trust some of you are well this evening. I hope you got your Bibles today. You got your Bible today? You're going to need it. Okay? Because you're going to need it every day, but especially today when we're doing a Bible study. So I was going to do Great Women of the Bible, Sister Laura Part 1. no, it was Esther Part 4. But as I was preparing, I just couldn't get away from this. So we are going to do Habakkuk. So turn to the book of Habakkuk. Now, this kind of started because one day I decided, can I list all the books of the Bible in the right order? I did pretty well till I got to the Minor Prophets, and then I got a bit lost. So I decided what I needed to do is just go and read through the Minor Prophets. Now, I got to Habakkuk and found out he's a very modern prophet. So this is Habakkuk, the modern prophet. And we're going to go through this, and we're going to start by standing, and we're going to read verse 1 to verse 4, and we're going to try and get all the way through the book just to give you kind of some hints, and then hopefully when the Lord leads, you go and read it yourself, and you can really dig into this stuff, all right? So there are three chapters. That's 15 minutes per chapter. It's not going to be a long, in-depth Bible study. We could turn it into many weeks of Bible study, this, but we're just going to hit the highlights here. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that have rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked did compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open your word to us, and that you would bless us tonight with the very modern prophet of Habakkuk. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you can take your seats, that's fine. Okay. So, our opening scene with Habakkuk, and we don't have a background of where he's from, who he is, it's just he's a prophet, he has a burden, and he's crying out to the Lord with his burden, and it's a very modern burden. He says, I see violence. Okay. I see wrongdoing. I see iniquity. People who know what the right thing to do is, and they're doing the wrong thing. And he was living in the nation of believers. He wasn't living in, you know, Babylon. He wasn't living. He was living in the nation of people that confessed they believed on God and yet had turned from God into sin, and yet masked their turn from God into sin with the words, with the phrases, with the scriptures of the righteous. And if that doesn't remind you of today, I don't know what nation you're living in. I don't know what news you're watching. Because at the same time we see good being turned to evil, or being called evil, and evil being labeled as good. We see people raising up who are saying, we'll take a stand for God. I've had an experience of God. Let me lead you. And these people many times are no better than the people that call it evil good. They're surrounded by hypocrisy. They're not righteous people, and yet somehow they've ended up as the leaders of this country. Are you tracking with me? Okay. So this is why Habakkuk is a very modern prophet, because the issues that he is facing are exactly the same issues that we are facing today. And we can see this in the nation. Sometimes we can see it in a church that we go to. Lord willing, not this church. But sometimes we go to a church and we see there are pastors there, there are ministers there who just have a cruel rule over the people, who have turned the righteousness of God, and their actions don't match their words. They preach fine words, they preach wonderful sermons from the Bible, from the Message, and yet they've turned their actions into cruelty, and you have people who are sitting under them, following them, and you're thinking, Lord, why do the wicked flourish? Why have they got this position where there's strife and contention and judgment never goes forth? The right thing to do is written in your word, but somehow it never gets done. And we as Christian people, we believe, and we do, we have power with God. Don't we have power with God? Don't we have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ? Doesn't the Bible say if two or more agree on anything on earth, it shall be done? And yet we can agree on these things and we can ask for these prayer requests and nothing seems to happen. You tracking with me? Okay. And this is the situation Habakkuk is in. The wicked does compass about the righteous. They have surrounded the righteous. Wherever you turn, you can't go far except you find a bit of wickedness in control and wrong judgment proceeding. So that was the question that Habakkuk had. And I think it's a question that we have when we see situations. Maybe it's somebody caught in a sickness. You know, thinking of your dad, Brother Greg. He's online, I'm guessing. I didn't hear his name. But yeah, Brother Greg, you know, why does the disease overcome the righteous? And we cry unto God and nothing seems to be happening. Okay? Uncle Paul, we can think of. And spiritual situations, people bound by evil spirits that we pray for years and they don't seem to be able to break free. And we apply our faith and it just seems that judgment is not coming to pass. Situation, and God says, you see the righteousness oppressed by the wickedness? And here's God's reply, verse 5. It says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of them. Their horses are swifter than the leopards, and more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteneth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn to them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power to his God. So this is God's answer. We can look at a few things in here because sometimes it's hard to understand within the context, but without the context, rather, of the time. But behold ye among verse 5, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told to you. That's in another place in the Bible. Okay? That's in Acts chapter 13. Okay? And this is part of the understanding of, hey, why did the Jews get so mad at Paul that they wanted to stone him? Because he was going around saying things like this. Okay? So he preaches in Acts 13, and then we'll just take it from verse 38. It says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, Jesus Christ. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest it come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So basically, you were saying, listen, if you don't believe this, you're going to be like those people, those unbelievers. I am identifying you with the wicked people that Habakkuk prophesied against. Okay? Can you understand why they might have been slightly disturbed by this and wanted to say, okay, no, we want to hear the good old gospel of Moses and how the Jews are the chosen people and the Messiah is coming, the Jews will rule over. And he's like, no, the Gentiles are coming and you're going to be cast out like this. Okay? So it's just really interesting how you can look and you can see God raises up people. God raises up, and another Pharaoh rose up in Egypt. Who rose that other Pharaoh up in Egypt that didn't know Joseph? That was God. Why did he do it? To bring his people into bondage. Why did he bring them into bondage? So they could get uncomfortable enough to bring their Messiah on the scene, Moses, their deliverer. So sometimes, through no fault of your own, there's no record of the Jews, the children of Israel in Egypt being ungodly. There's no record of them forgetting to worship God. There's no record of them going out of the way. I'm sure that happened to certain people, but as a nation, it didn't happen. And then the burdens come on. It's like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And he says, nothing. I'm just putting you into a position where judgment is going to come upon you. Lord, why? Well, because the next step has to happen. So, Brother Greg, why are you going through this? Because the next step has to happen. What's the next step? I don't know. We'll get there, but it's going to be glorious. Okay? We'll get to that, because that's the answer that God had. So, it talks about the horsemen. It talks about the conquering. And it talks about they shall deride us every stronghold, for they shall heap up dust and take it. So essentially, you have a fortified city. They don't care. They've got some siege engineers, and they're going to build a ramp, and they're going to come over the wall with the ramp. Okay? Their god, the Babylonians' god, main god, Marduk, was the god with a shovel, which is really interesting if you think about Cain and Abel, you know, working the ground. But yeah, the Babylonians pretty cruel. But we're not going to dwell on that. God says, you see the evil coming. There's a judgment coming that's going to hit those evil people. Okay? And there is a judgment coming. And we know that we've been told communism is a tool raised up in the hand of God to punish the church for rejecting. Will it punish? Will there be innocent people caught up in the punishment? Yeah, there will be. Will there be saved people caught up in the punishment? Yes, there will be. Okay? We're talking foolish virgin. We're talking tribulation. Okay? And God says, you see the evil? There's a judgment coming. And it's going to hit. And this kind of disturbs Habakkuk. I'm slightly behind, but we'll keep going. 15 minutes, okay? And he goes back to God and he says, "Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he, and maketh men as the fishes of the sea, and the creeping things that have no ruler over them, and they take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net, gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad, therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their drag, because by them their portion is flat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nation?" So he says, God, you've raised up these people to judge, but God, they're really wicked. And I know what's going to happen when they come. They're going to devour the righteous as well as the guilty. Because even the guilty in our nation, the nation of Israel, they still name your name. They're still a cut above everybody else in the world who are you know, burning their babies and who are doing terrible things. They still have a connection with you. They're more righteous than these people, and you're raising up a really evil people to judge them. That doesn't seem like you, God. Okay? And so we're in this situation where we say, the tribulation is coming. That doesn't seem like the actions of a just, fair, loving God. Yeah? I mean, let's just be totally, you know, Brother Branham says, the tender hand of God bringing the Jews back into the land. You know, with people starving to death and being gassed to death and being tortured to death. It doesn't seem like God. Okay? We can see another place where, let's turn back to Psalm chapter 73. I'm not going to read it all, but read this psalm sometime. Verse 3, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death." Okay? David saw the wicked people prospering in the earth and it upset him. And he said, why are the wicked, you know, it's incredible. If you want to be a billionaire in this world, yeah, and you look at their lives, you look at the things they've done, how they've got there, it's like, Lord, that's not a very righteous person. And they're prospering. Lord, that's not a very godly person. And they're held up as an example of someone to emulate. Okay? Lord, I wish I had a bit more money so I could do what I liked. You know, if I were a rich man, you know. Okay? But these people are not godly. And even the people that are not godly and they pretend to be godly in order to get votes or, you know, get power, to deceive people. And verse 14, it says, "For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning." I can't understand this. It says, "Until I went to the sanctuary of God," verse 17, "then I understood their end." So the presence of God brings that understanding. Okay? So when you read the end of chapter 1, read Psalm 73, all right? And then the beginning of chapter 2 is the end of what Habakkuk is saying. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon my tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Says, Lord, I know the thoughts I have about this. I can't help the thoughts, but you're righteous. Show me, Lord. And the Lord answered me. So now God is giving him the answer to the second question, which is, Lord, the innocent are going to suffer. The righteous are going to suffer. Are you really using these people to bring your judgment when you can't stand the wicked? And God says, yep, write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run that readeth it. There's an interesting phrase in the Hebrew, as far, not that I read Hebrew, but reading all the different interpretations of this, it seems to have a dual meaning. Okay? The first one is write the vision clearly enough that even someone who is on the move and running and in a hurry can read it and understand it. Okay? And the second meaning is more in line with how it's presented in the English, this dual meaning, which is write the vision that's clear enough that anyone who sees it and understands it can go into action. Okay? So that they're without excuse, that they have been told. It's up to them whether they go into action. It's up to you whether you go into action about the word of God that you've been told. But God has told you clearly enough and plainly enough. It's up to you whether you refuse it and say, I'm not gonna look at that. I'm going to turn my eyes. I'm going to look at something else. Or whether you read it and say, this is my call to action. Let me prioritize. Let this take first place in my life, what God is calling me to do. And God carries on and he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. For though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And so there's two words for tarry in there. So the first one has a connotation of it's you're waiting long enough that you're starting to question it. Is this really happening? Okay, and the second tarry is it procrastination. It will not procrastinate. There is a time appointed for every word of God to be fulfilled. And at the time appointed, that word of God will be fulfilled. And God knows the time and he says, now is the time. But we hear the word of God and we have to wait till the time appointed. Okay, it's going to tarry. You're going to wait. For though it will tarry, though it will be questioned, wait for it, because it will not procrastinate. It will come at the right time. It will not tarry. That reminds me, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers went to sleep, everything carries on. Okay. And he says, but listen, behold his soul. And this is the answer to the question. His soul that's lifted up in him is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay. And we can take that. Well, Romans 1:17. Okay. And this is what God is starting to unfold to Habakkuk. He says, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay? The just shall live by his faith. What's his faith? What God has given him to live in the time that he's appointed to live. Okay? And let's turn to Hebrews 11. And we can see all the things we'd like to be associated with, right? The great heroes of faith, amen? Abraham's in here and Noah's in here. Those that died in faith are in here. But also, at the end of the chapter, okay, it says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So what's he saying? This revelation, and you can see it unfold through the scriptures. It says the just shall live by his faith. And the faith that I give you is the word of God for your generation. And if the word of God for your generation is the Chaldeans are coming and they're going to judge the wicked of this generation, then that's what you have to stand on. And it might not be pleasant to stand on it. Okay? Yeah. It might not be pleasant to stand on it, but if God has given it to you, then stand on it. But then he carries on. Verse 5 to the end of the chapter. Okay? He says, because he transgresseth by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desirous hell and as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, heaping up to him all people. And so now what he's doing is he's describing the actions of the Babylonians, and if you look at that description, you start to see that's the actions of the Antichrist spirit acting in a nation. Yeah, conquering all people. All right? And saying, there is an end to this. Verse 9, woe to him that coveteth with an evil coveteth. Woe to him, verse 12, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink. And so these woes, woe to him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent before him. So God came down and said to him, listen, what I told you is coming. And the judgment of God is coming. And what's the faith that God's given you to rest in? There are different faiths. There are different words. But whatever God has given you to rest in that, because the just shall live by his faith. But if your soul lifts up in judgment against God, oh, God can't. God shouldn't do that. That's not right. Yeah? Then you're lifted up. You're not righteous. It's not righteous within you. Okay? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So Habakkuk really had an experience with God there. An intense experience that gave him the answers to these questions. Lord, I'm living in an evil world where people who should be righteous are not righteous. And God says judgment is coming. Lord, the judgment that you're going to bring is going to affect everyone, the righteous. Now, you can take it on, you know, a church level, you can take it on a family level, you can take it on an individual level, okay? And sometimes you can be praying for, and nothing seems to happen, and the Lord says a judgment's coming. And the judgment will come and it won't tarry. You say, Lord, it's going to hurt this and that. It's going to, you know, it's going to have fallouts, and you can see the fallouts, but God says, I know. But I'm going to give everyone who lives through that the portion of faith they need to overcome in that situation. Okay? So, Nebuchadnezzar's going to come. and he's going to carry captive away all the princes of the land. And he's going to make them eunuchs. And they're going to serve in a foreign land and have all their names changed. It's just such an amazing thought to me that this is describing the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God says, but I will give them a portion of this faith that they will be able to carry through with them to overcome in the situation. And I will give them a name that will live eternally as one of the glorified saints of heaven and the examples of all ages. So don't you worry about it. Okay? I can see beyond that. And by the way, have you ever had a splinter in your finger that's gone pretty deep? And you got to be like, oh man, and you pull it and it's like, ooh, and you're like, I really need to dig this one out. So you get something and you start tearing the skin away till you know what I mean, Josh? Yeah? Okay. It's pretty painful to go through that. And, you know, if you do it to a little child, they can really scream and cry. Okay. How many splinters do you remember, Josh, right now? How many still affect you? Any? Okay. All right. Other than the two that you're going through right now, does the memory of any really bother you? No. And let's think about it in the great eternity. All of this will seem like splinters. It's not pleasant to go through. Okay. But in the presence of God, that's why God says God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. We're home now. We've made it. We're done. Let's go on to the next thing. You did your job. You expressed what you needed to express of me. And now you're going to express me in the glory of our family together. The toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Okay? And so we can comfort each other with that. And that may not seem like a big deal of comfort. Yeah? But look what it did. And now we got maybe 13 minutes for the last chapter. Okay. So this is the effect that it had on Habakkuk. And this just reminds me, and when you read this, this is like an encapsulation of the book of Job. Okay? God brought trouble. God brought a revelation. God brought a change. So here's the end. O Lord, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon the Shigionoth, I think. Okay. All right. That's some kind of musical instrument. So now we're in a place of prayer and praise. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Timah and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Is it Psalm 100? The Lord came down riding on to my rescue. It's the same God. Psalm 18. Thank you. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation? Excuse me. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with the rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou wounded the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves at the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thy horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh upon the people, he will invade them with his troops. And so you see, very similar. Job is like, Lord, I'm righteous. I've done all. I'm not saying I'm a holy person, but I've done all you required. Let my sin be. And God comes down and he says, Lord, in your presence, I realize I'm just a bit of an idiot. I repent in the dust and the ash. It's enough that you come down and you make your presence known to me. Same thing here. Oh, I see the glory of God come down. And I realize how weak and how pitiful I am. And in that realizing how horrible I am, I say, okay, yeah, here's someone I can trust in to have the right judgment in this situation. Okay? And I'll leave it to him. And so, brothers and sisters, when you have these questions, just pray till God comes down. Yeah? Because in the presence of God is the answer. In the presence of God is the word of faith for you that you can stand on. In the presence of God is the power of God made manifest to you. Not so you can say, oh, look at me. I'm going to smite those Babylonians. Oh, I'm going to bring the judgment of God on those evil Israelites. I'm going to do it. You're going to say, no, I am nothing, Lord. Just leave me alone. Don't look at me too closely. And God says, it's all right. I like you. You know, I'm going to see you to an expected end, and I'm coming down to give you the faith you need to get through this situation. So this was the spiritual experience that Habakkuk had, and it led to the confession of, here's all the trouble coming. Oh, I see the evil of the nation surrounding me. I see the evil of the spirits oppressing. I see God is going to bring judgment. I see terrible things are going to happen. And you know what? That's okay. Because I've also seen the Lord. Okay? And so here's how he ends it. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, oh, I know trouble's coming. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the store. Okay, so, all right, let's just bring this to, because he's a modern prophet, right? He's a modern prophet, so let's bring it to modern times, okay? All right. If the internet goes down, we as a society are in big trouble, right? If someone bombs like half of the oil refineries in America, the price of petrol or gas in America, petrol in England, I've just been there, okay, is going to go through the roof. You're going to be talking about $50-$60 a gallon because it's so scarce. Only the rich people will still be riding around their Hummers just saying, "Yeah, look at me." All right? Everyone else will be stuck at home or trying to get that. Well, you'll be okay, Brother David. You got your bicycle. Okay? He goes quite far on it. All right? But, and then suddenly there's no food in any of the supermarkets. All right? This is what he's talking about, because they lived on the harvest of the year. They lived on the animals that they could kill. All right? The electricity goes out. There's no power in your house. Okay? You've got a generator, but after you run out of petrol, you don't have any electricity. You can't charge your phone. Okay? And then the water doesn't get pumped to through the reservoirs. And we're in a city of 3 million people trying to find food, shelter, water. There are people with guns running everywhere trying to hijack things. It's like, okay, this is the equivalent of what he's describing. Do you understand? Just bring it down into the modern age. If things are so bad that all of the things that sustain society fail, right? Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk on mine high places. Okay, what does that mean? Hinds' feet. Have you ever seen the mountain goats climbing up the ledges to get those little pieces of grass? And you're like, that is a sheer rock face. And they're just gambling around up there, and the little ones are just jumping from ledge to ledge, and the ledges are about this big, and they're just, they're kind of all sideways, leaning in. Yum, 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 yum. You know what I mean? It's like, how do they do that? That's the hind feet. He shall make my feet like the hind feet. Like, in impossible places, I will have a solid foundation and food to eat and shelter from the storm. Yeah? That's what he's saying. He will make my feet like hind feet. And he said, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And he said, this, you know what? This is not just for me. This is for everybody. Yeah? Everybody who trusts in God. Go and spread it. Go and spread the news. This isn't a secret revelation. This is for the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So, not you, Brother Peter, because it doesn't have strings. All right, but you understand what I'm saying. This is Habakkuk. You see that journey? All right, now, when the Lord lays it on your heart, in the middle of everything else you're doing, when you have time or the thought, now you have a little overview of the book of Habakkuk. Now you can really dive in and see all the different connections. I hope that's a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me a second. So I know, I don't know if we sung that chorus though. The fig tree shall not blossom. We probably know it to a different tune though. Likelihood. Yeah. And some people know the wrong one. So this is the tune I know it to. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, the labor of the olive fail, and the fields yield no meat, though the flock be cut off from the stall, and there be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Yeah, see, I knew we knew it to a different tune. All right. Well, who's going to sing it then for us? You know that song? You don't? Okay. Brother Don. You can't remember it. Can anyone remember it? Okay, you have to learn it my way then. Oh, what are we in? Though the fig tree... blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine. The labor of the olive fail, and the fields yield no meat. Though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, the labor of the olive fail, and the fields yield no meat, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Okay, so I'm gonna find a recording that I'll send it out to the music group, and then we'll get it introduced, and we'll have a way of singing that. I love singing the scripture in song, and you know, Amen. And just think that that's an inspiration, okay, from 3,000 years ago. All right, but is it a modern prophecy? Okay. That's because the word of God is eternal, and that's why Habakkuk is here in the Bible. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, eternal, everlasting, fresh every day, a modern prophet, a modern prophecy. We pray that we could take these things to our hearts. We could find the place of faith that you have for us to rest in the middle of the strife and in the middle of the confusion, that we could find comfort in your presence, that you would comfort those going through a hard time, Sister Dahlia and Brother Greg, and bring them to their expected end, Uncle Paul, so many others, Sister Mary, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to just take these lessons to our hearts and be faithful to you. If I've said anything, Lord, that's wrong, pray you bring it to your light. But the words that you've spoken, may they bring forth the fruit that you'd ordained for them in this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, that's a good song. God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. The coal of fire touch the prophet, making him as pure can be.
Then when the voice of God said, "Who go for us?" Then he answered, "Here am I, send me. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me." Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Speak, my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. Soon the time for reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. Then may we hear his blessed child, well done. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send thee.
If you see the trouble coming, as Habakkuk did, then you know, our lives are here not to be, oh, it's going to happen, I'm not going to do anything. But our lives are here to be a witness, to say, there are still people that we can save from the fire. There are still people that we can gather into God's love. You know, let this be a motivation to you to say, how can I live my life in a way that witnesses? How can I use my words in a way that's God's word stalking through me? And doesn't matter, young or old, sister, brother, God has put you in a place where you've got a job to do and where you've got someone that you can reach. So don't be shy. Wouldn't it be a horrible thought to enter into life and God to say to you, well, you did a good job, but, you know, there was someone that you could have spoken to and you missed that opportunity, and they had to suffer for a little longer. I had to send someone else. I sent them your way, and you didn't listen to what I was trying to do. We're here to bring people to Jesus. Okay? We're here not to hide our lights under a bushel. We're here to preach the gospel in whatever way we can, to say, like Habakkuk said, the Lord has come down to me and I've got news. I'm going to share it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to witness to it. Let the Lord speak to you and say, Lord, may I be the one. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be some brother, some preacher who brings the last one in. It's probably going to be someone like Sister Lenore, you know, who just talked to somebody and they'll come in and the Lord will be like, that's the person we've been waiting for, you know. But go out, be a light. Amen. Someone want to close in a word of prayer? Okay. God bless.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And though we might walk through fiery trials, Lord, you've made a way. And we are so thankful for you, for your loving care. Just pray that you give us hearts that reach out to those that are around us, Lord, that we can try to bring everyone in that we can, Lord, into the safety of your love and your arms, that your word could reach as many as possible. Just let our hearts be tender toward you, sensitive to your leading, and ready to go where you send us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.